Making America Smart Again. It's the Krieger Files with Dave Krieger. Are you tired of your boss stealing from your paycheck to send to a government that's writing checks its body can't cash? It's the government's worst nightmare. Dave Krieger.
Obviously, it sounds titty because I'm on the phone. Gotta love it when this happens. Yeah, Florida's about to get a freeze and maybe some snow today. Governor DeSantis has declared the state of emergency, rather, in the state of Florida. And meanwhile, before he did that, as Biden was exiting the official duty as whatever you want to call him, because many people did not regard him as their president, what ended up happening is Biden decided that he was going to do allegedly the honorable thing. In his mind, it was the honorable thing. And that was to issue pardons, preemptive, to members of his family. Now, according to Trump's interview last night with the media while he was signing executive orders in the Oval Office, he said anybody doing this would be deemed to look guilty. Otherwise, why would he issue preemptive pardons? Well, the thing is, again, as I covered on the show yesterday, and then, of course, Benny Thompson from the J6 committee, because this is exactly who he pardoned, Fauci, Milley, personnel working on the J6 committee, Benny Thompson, of course, from Mississippi, said we've been pardoned today not for breaking the law, but for upholding it. Well, Mr. Thompson, I don't know whether you read the Constitution very well or not, but you haven't been convicted of anything. How do you get a pardon when you haven't been convicted? That's what I'm wondering. Preemptive pardon? I don't know where in the Constitution it says it, and I would love to see the Trump administration challenge it. Seriously, go to the Supreme Court with it if you have to. One of the things that Joe Biden did do, and I've actually got a copy of the clemency, and it was issued from the pardon committee. And of course, this is Biden. This is an executive grant of clemency, not a full pardon, but clemency. And so this clemency takes effect February 18th. That's next month. And all the other components of the sentence against Leonard Peltier. Remember him? He's 80 years old, not in real good health. He's been in prison for almost 5 decades. He's been in declining health in recent years from diabetes, hypertension, partial blindness from a stroke, and bouts of COVID. He had COVID multiple times. 1 year in a jail cell, I guess it's real easy to get COVID. Maybe it was the flu. We don't know. But Peltier, instead of staying in jail, is going to be confined to home. It will not pardon him for his underlying crimes, according to a statement from the White House. As you know, he's a Native American rights activist convicted of killing 2 FBI agents on the Pine Ridge Indian Reservation and of escaping from federal prison. So there you have it. And of course, the Kohler family, one of the 2 agents fatally shot Jack Kohler, one of the family members there. They're frustrated, very angry after years of fighting to keep him in prison. The board decided against granting Peltier parole. This makes President Biden's decision for a last-minute commutation more surprising and extremely disappointing, according to the family. Well, la-di-da. Hey, you know what? A lot of the Indian reservations were hoping this would happen. And there's another reason, actually, for those of you in the Kohler family that may or may not be listening to the show. Understand something. We don't doubt the fact that Leonard was involved in Pine Ridge in that incident, Wounded Knee, whatever you want to call it. You know, we already know this, right? I don't think he denies it. But the fact of the matter is why the federal system, if they know he's on his way out the door, I mean, 5 decades, he's been in prison a long time, 50 years. His health is declining. They could ship him off to Springfield to the medical center for federal prisoners. But then the United States government would have to pay to take care of him. Maybe they don't want to do that. Maybe they want to show them a little mercy. At least Biden did. I guess what Biden did in his case was probably the right thing, because it confines him to home, and if he's got issues, then I guess he can get permission to go to the doctor or the hospital or whatever the case may be to get treated. It's okay by me. Don't know about you, but, you know, you got to let bygones be bygones after 50 years. You know, I'm sorry that he made a mistake. And again, we have to look backward 50 years or better to what the FBI was doing there. I mean, look what the FBI did at Ruby Ridge. They shot and killed the dog first. Then, of course, U.S. Marshal Dagan got killed. We don't know whether that was by friendly fire or not. And, of course, Vicki Weaver lost her mind, thanks to Lon Horiucci, who claimed she was holding a, you know, 50 caliber or whatever. And he fired through the door, taking her head off. She was holding her three-month-old baby, waiting for Randy Weaver, and they just came back from putting his son out in the shed because they killed his son. You see, when the feds come at you, the rules of engagement change. And, of course, they're going to cover it up. They do this all the time. I mean, look what happened at Waco. Same thing. They don't want to tell you what happened at Waco. They don't want to tell you that four of Clinton's bodyguards were part of that ATF crew, that all of them got shot climbing up on the roof trying to go in through a second floor window. They don't want to tell you that. Took Linda Thompson, an attorney out of Indianapolis, to expose it for people to understand what happened at Waco. No, they came to the door to serve a warrant. They could have served it in the grocery store, but no, the federal government's got to make a grand entrance. And of course, Janet Reno, we call her Butch. They told me he was slapping the babies. You know, that was the collective cartoon that was out there. Federal government's got nothing to do with, whether David Koresh, Vernon Howell, whoever he wants to call himself at that point in time, was impregnating half the compound. I mean, you know, come on. This is not a federal matter. No, it was the fact they had hellfire triggers and the neighbors ratted them out and said, hey, this bunch out there sounds like they got automatic weapons. You need to investigate it. The sheriff didn't find anything wrong. Said, yeah, they're using those things called hellfire triggers. Okay. And of course, the feds had to come in just like they did with Brian Malinowski in Little Rock, Arkansas, Tuesday, March 19th, 2024. They came to his house at 6:02 and at 6:03 after crashing through the front door and being confronted by the executive director of the Little Rock International Airport, named after the Clintons, the ATF agents. You know, he thought that he was being home invaded. I mean, what would you do? You'd done the same thing. Well, he got two rounds, high-velocity rounds in his forehead, turned his brain into mush, very similar to Vicki Weaver. And you really think that the ATF is going to pay for this? We'll be talking to Bud Cummins in the future because, federal tort claims, it's out there. And what about all these J6ers? Well, last night, in the midst of the conversation with the media, thanks, Susie Wiles, for not controlling this. We had to sit there and wait for this morning's news to come out as to what all he signed because the media kept interrupting him when his Trump's aide was trying to explain to Trump what was in each one of these executive orders he was signing. And, of course, the media was blowing him up with questions because they know once they get Trump in a room and they start asking questions, he's going to talk to them. And, of course, that becomes a problem because then we can't hear what it is he's signing. One thing we do know from last night's J6 pardons, because apparently 1,500 plus, there's about 14 people that basically right now they're reviewing their sentences to find out whether or not they just want to commute them and leave them as felons, let them out of prison, whatever. Andrew and Matthew Valentine from Stroudsburg, Pennsylvania, were released from the Central Detention Facility in D.C. That would be what we lovingly refer to as the D.C. Gulag, just before midnight, as soon as Trump administration officials announced outside the jail, adding that Elon Musk was the mastermind behind their sudden freedom. You gotta love that, right? We will be back with more news, a little explanation of what's going on, and what's a guillotine doing in D.C. We'll let you know about that when we come back.
Inflation constantly chewing away at the value of paper money. Perhaps it's time for Americans to bite back. Ownership of gold and silver coins provides great counterbalance to weaker paper money value. U.S. Coin Capital provides physical gold and silver coins. You can reach us directly at 1-800-878-2646, uscoincapital.com.
Bypass the mainstream narrative with Liberty News Radio at libertynewsradio.com. Engage with charismatic hosts live or on demand. We cover the crucial news focused on God, family, and country. News that other networks simply refuse to use. Think of LNR's hard-hitting news and podcasts at your fingertips anytime, anywhere. Join us at libertynewsradio.com. Empower your day with the truth, because the truth will set you free. libertynewsradio.com.
Need a document notarized even when one or more of the signers is out of state? What a faster way to close your real estate deals by getting your documents professionally notarized online at ProfessionalNotaryOnline.com. For more information and to book an appointment, visit ProfessionalNotaryOnline.com or call Aaron at 941-400-8282. A trusted Krieger Files partner. Good in all 50 states. That's 941-400-8282.
From the ranks of the disenfranchised, it's the government's worst nightmare. It's the Krieger Files.
Back in the saddle, 18 minutes after the hour here on this Tuesday, the day following the inauguration. I'll bet you the newest president of the United States, Donald Trump, and his wife, Melania, they were out late last night. I wonder if they're still in the sack or they're actually up and at them. There's just so much happening in D.C. over this. And, of course, we were talking about the J6 protesters, and you have to understand that these hostages, even though two of them got let out last night because the announcement was made, hey, an executive order was just signed, you got to let them out, and two of them got let out. This is going to be a vetting process. 14 individuals still serving time have had their sentences commuted, and there was a reason for that. They are still going to get the felony record. And here's the difference. The pardons got issued to people who were nonviolent that were just there. And, of course, as you know, the Garland DOJ looked at all the videos and identified all these people because they post stuff on social media. I mean, seriously, if you're going to go to D.C. and protest, I mean, don't you think it's a good idea not to tell anybody you were there? Not to leave your photo online? Because that's how they found all these people, 1,200 some odd people. There was already a bunch in prison, but a lot of these people were charged, and they rounded them up still. So Garland's going to be on his way out the door if he's not already. And the executive order was signed to prevent any of the DOJ from using political weaponization. However, that doesn't mean that there won't still be people held accountable for what they did during the Biden administration. And that includes the J6 committee. Like I said yesterday, how do you pardon somebody that hasn't been convicted? There's nothing in the Constitution that allows the president to issue preemptive pardons. Pardons are given to people who have been charged with a crime and convicted. None of the people he pardoned have been convicted. So what do you do about all of this issue? Well, you call your favorite congressperson who you put back in office, and you demand they remove the PREP Act, which means they can hold the companies and all these ex-federal employees civilly liable. And you file thousands of lawsuits. And basically the lawsuits allege that because they failed to release information, we didn't get informed consent, Big Pharma lied. Moderna and Pfizer need to be bankrupted, as does Fauci, as does DASAC, as does Burks, and anybody else that stuck their nose in this and said it was all wonderful that they were safe and effective, the jabs. And the doctor who said they were safe and effective, you need to go after him too. You want to see insurance take off? You want to see malpractice insurance? You want to see doctors get put out of business? Maybe there won't be any doctors left to treat anybody, and we'll have to go back to the way things were. You'll have to get treated on your own. You'll have to treat yourself. That should be interesting, right? Everybody likes to self-diagnose, right? Gee, what is that? It's a zit. Oh, well, how do we fix it? You know. Yeah, they'll be trying to figure that out. But see, the thing is, the government with these J6 individuals, if you were violent at the Capitol and you broke windows, well, that's that 14 individuals that are going to be of the 1,500 that are let out. Their sentences were commuted, which means they're free, but they're still convicted felons for destruction of property. So if they committed destruction of property and they did anything, I just wonder about the people like Lila Morris, you know, the D.C. Capitol cop that kept beating on Roseanne Boylan even after she was unconscious. And what about that captain that shot the Air Force veteran, Ashley Babbitt? What about him? Is he going to be punished? They going to go after him? So you got to wonder about that. You wonder, you know, I mean, these people have not been charged. How do you pardon somebody that hasn't been charged? That's what I want to know. Or convicted. You know, pardon means basically you just remove the conviction like it never happened. Well, if they haven't been convicted of anything, how do you pardon them? See, you're putting a cart before the horse, Joe. But see, this is in his mind, you know. He's a legend in his own mind, and that's about the extent of it. Otherwise, mental acuity of office furniture. Here's a clear-cut case about pardoning people. You see, now what Trump was doing, signing that executive order, and J.D. Vance interviewed that, you know, on Fox News Sunday, said that those who were violent on J6 shouldn't be pardoned. They should just have their sentences commuted. So they're still, you know, if you're going to go to the Capitol building and you're going to create destruction and break windows and doors and damage things, well, or you steal things, you know, there's Robert Morse. Remember him? He's a former Army Ranger who was found guilty of obstructing an official proceeding, robbery of personal property of the U.S., assaulting or resisting impeding officers with a dangerous weapon. Well, he'll get let out. But the thing is that, you know, he's still got a felony record. So when you have this kind of a problem, oh, yeah, of course it's. You know, and then you get the media saying, well, aren't they going to do time? Aren't they going to do time? It's like, okay, what part of the presidential pardon don't you understand? See, we still have the left-wing media that's going to continue to spin everything Trump does out of control. Is Trump all part of the elite, the government elite? Oh, yeah. Yeah, he's still there. You know, he went in first off and signed a bunch of executive orders that are, you know, dating back to the days of Washington where they said the executive chef shall only enter through the servants' quarters. You know, that was the executive order of the day. Didn't have anything to do with, you know, the executive orders passed down by presidents in the future. Trump also gave TikTok 75 days to find a U.S.-based buyer. And, of course, he was throwing numbers out there saying, well, you know, we could, the government could take it over and make, it could be worth $500 million. It could be worth that. So while this was going on, the former vice president's supporters, now this is Harris in September saying there is no place for political violence in our country. But these protesters, some of them with pride flags, show up outside the Capitol. They brought a 20-foot guillotine during the inauguration, which took place 232 years to the day after French Revolutionary sentenced King Louis the 16th to his public beheading via the same device. One of the anarchists dressed as a medieval-looking executioner just in case their message wasn't already abundantly clear. the tolerant left, ladies and gentlemen, according to Tucker Carlson. See, why is it always, you know, these people in the mainstream media, and that includes Tucker, I hate to say it, there's a lot of you out there love Tucker Carlson. Just a lot of you out there love Trump, and you voted for Trump because, to many people, he was the lesser of two evils. You know, he would get more done. He actually keeps his promises. Biden didn't say anything of the kind. He secretly basically said, oh, no, no, nothing's going to, you know, I'm just going to let all these illegals into the country, and I'm going to break all sorts of laws. You know, it's really funny. He didn't pardon himself. Makes me wonder how that's going to ferret out. But see, pardoning his brother, Jim, and all these other people, and pardoning Fauci, I mean, all you got to do is get rid of the PREP Act. You don't have to worry about, you know, see, pardons don't cover civil. You know, it covers offenses against the United States. It doesn't cover offenses against we the people. So you got Fauci, you got Daszak, you got Birx, you got all these people, Collins, all these people, and all your doctors and pharma, Pfizer, Moderna, all said safe and effective. But they lied. They knew these things were going to screw people up, put them in adverse event positions. So your congressman needs to get rid of the PREP Act. So now we can file mass class action lawsuits and bankrupt these mofos. Seriously, that's the only way you're going to get relief. Is take it. This is where it hurts, is the money. Doesn't matter who goes to prison. I know you just like to take them and put them in that guillotine and cut their heads off. However, you know, you get rid of that PREP Act, you open that door to litigation. No protection from the federal government, guys. You lied. So guess what you get? You know, we get to come in and rape, pillage, and plunder your bank accounts. And we get to take everything, including all of Fauci's retirement. He thinks it's safe. Anthony, you better be watching. I think they're going to come for you. One of the other things that Trump did was he cut out that CBP1 app. That got shut down immediately. And he declared a national emergency at the U.S.-Mexico border. The Remain in Mexico program back in place, the executive order ending birthright citizenship, which means anchor babies. And, of course, if you kill a cop or a federal agent, death penalty, automatic. And he declared the cartels as terrorist organizations. Now, this should be interesting. But off the cuff, he said, we should send those armed IRS agents down to the border to help Border Patrol go after the cartels, you know. I'm like, yeah, right. I'll believe it when I see it. And, of course, now we're going to have a merit-based system instead of DEI. How's that going to work? There's so much stuff going on in Washington. We're going to reach out to Cheryl Chumley, who is a news reporter and author and columnist for the Washington Examiner. After the break, we'll be back to get more feedback directly from D.C.,
Taking back America, one consumer at a time. It's the Krieger Files.
Okay, back from the news break. Cheryl Chumley is a Washington Times opinion editor and host of Bold and Blunt podcast. And, of course, she is out with a new book. This is an interesting scenario. A new novel which tackles trauma, redemption, God's unwavering grace. Welcome back to the show, Cheryl.
Hi, thank you so much for having me. It's great to be with you.
So what's the name of the book?
Okay, so the one you described was my new fiction. It's called Chloe. The one that came out a week ago is nonfiction, and it's called God-Given or Bust, Defeating Marxism and Saving America with Biblical Truths. I know there's a lot there to go
sure
through.
Is.
I've been busy.
You love those subtitles, man. I'm telling you. Here's the beauty of it here. Being in the Washington Times situation as you are, I find it interesting. And we were talking before we came on, folks. You need to know this. Cheryl is like parked right outside the Beltway. So She is like totally in the loop. What was your take about yesterday's activities?
Well, there was so much going on just with Donald Trump, right? Day one, he's inaugurated, you take a breath, and next thing you know, we're off and marching right toward the MAGA agenda that he promised with the executive orders, pulling us out of Paris Treaty, right? The the terrible climate change agenda that was first brought up by Barack Obama, signed again by Joe Biden. His immigration controls, putting in effect immediately, controls with the border, really the LGBTQ lunacy that we've lived under for years now, already making it clear America defines two sexes and two sexes only, male and female. So there's a lot going on and a lot more even to come.
Well, I know there's so much to unpack here, but declaring a national emergency at the U.S.-Mexico border was huge, but the executive order ending birthright citizenship, that means no more anchor babies. Is that the way I'm reading it?
Yeah, it's just, you know, there were like 10 different, if you parse through the immigration orders, there are some good breakdowns online, the bullet points of what all the orders are dealing with immigration, and that's one aspect of it. But he's got a whole bunch that are going through on immigration and border control alone.
And then declaring the cartels as terrorist organizations. But yep. what really got into my craw was Susie Wiles let these reporters in, and they just kept interrupting him. And every time that his aide was there handing him an executive order to sign, the aide starts to open his mouth and tell Trump, here's what you're signing. And the media is cutting him off. And you know, I'm like, look, well, what are you going to do? Wait till the following day to find out what happened just so these people can get their yayas out? And see, they already know that they're going to feed Trump's ego just by, you know, they know he's going to talk to them. I mean, that's the difference between Biden. Biden, he has fights with a teleprompter. Trump, on the other hand, man, he'll just tell you what he thinks.
Yeah, and you know what? Well, yes, I did. And it's funny that you say the difference between the different administrations, right, and how the media is treated. Because if you go back even farther in time, it was Barack Obama who promised the most transparent White House administration ever, right? And it was his Justice Department that went after the media, right? You remember James Rosen, then Fox News, and tapping into his phone and, you know, all the stuff that went forth to shut down free access to journalists. And then Trump, like you said, he can't even walk across the lawn to his Air Force One without getting swamped by members of the media, and he stops to answer all their questions. Joe Biden, very closed off, couldn't get any answers from him, never held press conferences, and when he did, he couldn't even form a complete statement. You know, he wasn't there mentally. And again, Donald Trump, always accessible to the press, even though he is very blunt in pointing out to the press when they are unfair to him. He still goes back into that deep, dark pit called Washington media.
You gotta love that because you're part of that. But the thing is you look at this thing different than the left wing. I mean, the thing is the left wing is all screaming authoritarian. I mean, I was watching BBC at 5 o'clock this morning, and they're over there just bashing and saying, oh, we're moving total right authoritarian. And I'm like, really? I said, aren't we just cleaning up the mess from the left wing and trying to neutralize what's going on?
Yeah, you know, it's funny because this morning I was looking through the headlines about the response from the media to Donald Trump's executive orders of yesterday. And already you can see that the media, with their clever wording, right? The New York Times had a very cleverly written article about his executive orders. And if it were a Democrat who had issued these executive orders, it would all be language that showed favoritism to the president and the president's action, right? But because it's Donald Trump and the media, the corporate media, the mainstream media hate Donald Trump, they try and cast everything he does in a sort of nefarious way, right? Instead of like using words like requiring federal workers to go back into the office, which was one of his executive orders, right? They put words like order federal employees back to the office. And, it's just interesting. If you pay attention to the language and the narrative of the media, you're going to see even more going forward, how much they detest this president and how they're going to use very clever phrases and narratives in order to bring him down.
Yeah, that is just, it totally amazes me that they're going to continue to spin this. I mean, it's Maddow, it's Reid, it's Erin Burnett, who I used to actually like her. until the real truth started coming out of her mouth as to her thought process. And then, of course, the New York Times, you can't forget them, and the Washington Post. And I mean, this is the problem that Trump is going to have through the balance of his presidency, is people are not going to leave him alone, and they're going to spin the truth.
And the media is already doing what they can to bring up negatives, right? I mean, he's into the second day of his presidency, and all of a sudden I saw in the gym this morning, right? They have TV screens all over, and the media was covering the national deficit, right? It's something that we've forgotten about for so many years under Joe Biden. All of a sudden the deficit, you know, multi-billion, trillion-dollar deficit, and they're drumming the hysteria about the need to control debt and so forth. And so it just seems to me that already they're looking for any angle they can to divide and conquer this administration among the American people.
No doubt. And what's funny is at the same time, Klaus Schwab and the Schwab kebabs are over in Davos preaching globalism again. I really don't know. I'm just wondering, do you ever think that even though Trump is talking about taking over the Panama Canal, and I wonder how he's going to do that, if not by military force, and Greenland, you know, negotiating a deal with Denmark because he says the people in Greenland are unhappy with Denmark and they can't afford it. We can, and we need it for military strength. And I'm just wondering, when is Trump going to kick the United Nations out of New York and tell him to go to Brussels? Do we really need him here?
Yeah, you know, for a very long time, I've wondered the same question, right? Whether we've had a Democrat, you know, in the White House or a Republican, it's time to get the United Nations out of New York. And, you know, there is a logic to keeping the United Nations close by, right? Sort of that way of thinking that goes, keep your friends close and your enemies closer. So if that's the logic with continuing to keep the UN headquartered in New York, okay, I can deal with that. But the funding that goes into all the UN and all the UN tentacle agencies and so forth from American citizens needs to be slowed, cut, or even completely omitted. And Trump yesterday made a move to do just that with the World Health Organization, already issuing an order to remove the United States from the World Health Organization. So that's a good move. And I could see similar provisions coming from this administration with UNRWA and other UN organizations that taxpayers shouldn't be funding.
It's just amazing how much we think alike. But the thing is there are still people that can't get the idea. They keep saying democracy. They keep saying that D word, and it's like, look, we might have a representative democracy, at least on the surface, but the uniparty system is still there. And I've been getting a lot of phone calls from different people that all have said the same thing. Says, well, nothing's going to change. And they go, oh, I think you need to give them a chance. Because, you know, what was that first executive order he signed during the afternoon, during his first session, undid and reworded and repealed 78 different executive orders the Biden administration implemented. I mean, this is obviously a tit for tat. I just want to know, how do you think, what would be the smartest way for Trump in very short order, because we got about a minute left before we go to break, how is he going to deal with deep state?
The deep state? Well, you know, with Pam Bondi at the helm, right? I mean, that's a good person to put in charge of justice. And you're going to have Pete Hegseth, who looks like he's going to be confirmed. So you're going to have somebody over there at the Pentagon taking a look at that angle. I just think he's surrounding himself with good people this time who can deal with that issue specifically.
Need a document notarized even when one or more of the signers is out of state? What a faster way to close your real estate deals by getting your documents professionally notarized online at ProfessionalNotaryOnline.com. For more information and to book an appointment, visit ProfessionalNotaryOnline.com or call Aaron at 941-400-8282. A trusted Krieger Files partner. Good in all 50 states. That's 941-400-8282.
With inflation constantly chewing away at the value of paper money, perhaps it's time for Americans to bite back. Ownership of gold and silver coins provides great counterbalance to weaker paper money value. U.S. Coin Capital provides physical gold and silver coins, You can reach us directly at 1-800-878-2646, uscoincapital.com.
Molesting your earballs one more time. It's the Krieger Files with your host, Dave Krieger.
And we are back for our final 12 minutes of the show today here on this Tuesday, the day after the massive inauguration and well over 100 executive orders signed by President Trump on day one, basically undoing a lot of Biden's policies and re-implementing a lot of his own. What a better person to talk about that than somebody who lives right outside the Beltway, Cheryl Chumley. She's an opinion editor for the Washington Times. And I'm so glad to have you back. Just out of curiosity, because I've been to your website and I'm looking, CherylChumley.com. It's C-H-U-M-L-E-Y. For those of you, it's Cheryl with C-H, okay? And you don't have the new book posted on there. I see Chloe's on here, and then we did talk to you a long time ago about lockdown, the socialist plan to take away your freedom, and socialists don't sleep, Christians must rise, or America will fall. You pretty much have the same, you know, ideas. I just had Sam Sorbo, as a matter of fact, on the show yesterday talking about her new book, which is Parents' Guide to Homeschool, and we definitely can see that there's a possibility the educational system is going to be taken to task. What do you see happening with that?
Oh, well, just the declaration of the recognition in this country at the federal level of only two sexes is going to reverberate throughout the public school system, right? Because that's where this LGBTQ agenda has really been battling it out, with parents fighting for mostly their daughters to have privacy and safety when they go into changing rooms and restrooms in public school systems. So I expect that through the Department of Education and through even legislators this time around, because remember, we also have Republicans in charge of the House and Senate, that we may be able to executive orders such as the LGBTQ one, such as the Declaration of Male and Female, and codify that into law, right? So the public school systems could be in for a shakeup just on that cultural aspect, which is great. And in terms of bringing back an agenda in America where the public school systems actually teach kids civics and truthful history about American exceptionalism, I see some move from this Department of Education through Donald Trump pushing that into the school systems as well.
Well, see, and the reason I ask that is because the new book, God Given or Bust, Defeating Marxism and Saving America with Biblical Truths, you have it in Kindle. It looks like you've got it in book form, too. Hardcover.
Yes. Yeah,
and see,
it's
you, know, you use the term, right? Yeah, it is, and I'm looking at it. It says American exceptionalism. That's where you got that term. It's rooted in the idea the individual rights come from God and government is only in place to preserve and protect those rights. And I've been telling people, it's like my mantra. If you don't know your rights, you don't have any. And then the government is going to walk all over you. So tell me a little bit about what inspired you to write the book and get Jack Hibbs involved.
Oh, well, I wrote the book mostly because for years and years now, my whole thing, no matter who's been in leadership positions in the political world, my whole thing has been about God-given individual rights, right? American exceptionalism can be summed up with God-given rights and liberties to the individual. And no matter who's in politics, no matter who's in office, we need to remember that. And yes, we have a win right now with Donald Trump in the White House and Republicans leading the House and Senate, but it's only giving us breathing room to make the larger war. Either in America, we have God-given individual rights, or we have government-granted rights, and that's what the battle is ultimately about. And Pastor Jack Hibbs wrote the foreword for it because, same as I think, the founding of this nation was tied with religious freedom, so you cannot separate religious freedom from the political world, and he thinks similarly.
That makes a whole lot of sense. Now, here's the thing. Natural rights, constitutional rights, Bill of Rights. And here is the America. We are, because the United States of America is incorporated way back in 1871, then made a deal with the devil the Federal Reserve Bank in 1913 to come in and take us over. I mean, do you explore any of that historical going on with the banks and whatnot as far as shifting us all into an Article I administrative venue to where now everything is by contract? I mean, the Crown said that they were going to take us over by contract. It looks like that's what's happening. Do you explore any of that?
That's fascinating. I don't go into that particular history, but I do spend the first chapter explaining at length the historical basis, the historical foundation in America, that it is God-given individual liberties and why you cannot separate religion from politics in this country and retain liberty for the individual for long.
I just wonder if Trump is going to move in that direction and order an audit of the Federal Reserve, or he's just going to play into the game like he always has and regard money as money. I mean, he and Melania did come out with their own meme coin, and, of course, that affected Bitcoin on the market. And I'm still asking people, did we forget what our constitutional coin was? Last time I checked, it was gold and silver. Why are we forgetting all these things?
Yeah, it's interesting because in one of my prior books, I believe it was Socialists Don't Sleep, I did go into the loss of the gold standard in America and that whole takeover on Jekyll Island, right, with the development of the Federal Reserve and entering into this new era of digital currency that Joe Biden's administration probably would have pushed through, except there were some people who were very alert to the dangers of that. And so basically when we were taken off the gold standard in America, that just set us up for fake money, right? Like everything that comes after that, we have paper money, fiat, a fiat system, and now we have like digital currencies, which is they're so easy to manipulate. So I would say that would be something that the Donald Trump administration could address and bring us back under a more genuine, truthful system. Because if you have bankers and billionaires being able to manipulate currencies around the world, everything becomes fake. It's unicorn money, right? It's fantasy. And that just means that those in control can manipulate wealth and poverty as they deem fit as well.
Yet America puts all its faith in this current fiat money system, which is problematic. Yep. Because right now, at least we have hard currency or something that represents the will of we the people, that's legal tender for all debts, public and private. And it's M1. I mean, that's what we relied on. And we were, you know, basically sold a bill of goods and, you know, we're basically passing debt notes around because it says Federal Reserve note. And if you ask the average kid on the street who's flipping burgers at Mickey D's, you take Federal Reserve notes, he's going to look at you like a deer in a headlight. And well, I have to go ask my boss, and it's like, oh, my God, you know, you got another one. It's like these people do not understand our educational system. They don't teach Mortgage 101. They don't understand that our banks are all playing in securitization. They don't understand that we're into the loop financially with the world into the quadrillions of dollars, and that anything like this, like a shift to currency, would literally absorb all of this stuff. I mean, we're already into blockchain, and this is something that, I mean, if you're looking at Bitcoin, I mean, did we not learn anything from Sam Bankman fraud? Did we not learn anything?
Yeah, and let's not forget, we have China coming on strong, right? Making investments, for example, in Africa and through its various Belt and Road Initiative in order to topple America's currency, right, as the currency of trade for the world and bring in its own form. And so these are dangers that I'm fairly confident the Trump administration is in tune with and equipped to deal with.
Well, so now Vivek Ramaswamy appears to want to run for governor of Ohio against Mike DeWine. No doubt you heard that. So it looks like Elon Musk, well, that's what the word is out in the media. Doug is, you know, Elon Musk, and apparently this is the thing about the J6, the 1500 that are out there in 14 just basically acted violently at the Capitol, and so their sentences were commuted, even though they're going to be released from the D.C. gulag. The backlash from that, obviously the media is not receiving that very well. They think all these people should continue to be locked up, even though they walked into the Capitol building and said a prayer or marched around with face paint on, with horns on their head, and sat in Pelosi's seat. But, you know, people who ripped off the computer or people who smashed windows, You know, obviously, if they did this or they assaulted cops, their sentences were commuted. And apparently from the indications last night that Trump was talking to the media about, they were examining the sentences to see, you know, who is going to get a full pardon. And some of these 14 that he commuted their sentences may get a full pardon when it's all said and done. But this is a promise he made that I think resonated with the people more than anything, don't you think?
Yeah, especially when you saw that just recently Joe Biden pardoned that Indian activist, American Indian activist.
Yeah, Leonard Peltier.
Murdered,
we just talked about that. Yeah.
Murdered two FBI agents. And you know, speaking of the media is all over Donald Trump with the J6 pardons, but conveniently they left out the story of the murdered FBI agents. So it's very interesting what's going forth right now.
Yeah, you got to love that. All right, so Cheryl, Amazon.com, the name of the book is God Given or Bust, Defeating Marxism and Saving America with Biblical Truths. It comes in a Kindle edition. For those of you who like to read it on a computer, it comes in hardcover. For those of you who want to order it, you can get it at Amazon.com. And I appreciate your time. It's always nice to talk to somebody that's on the inside. Cheryl Chumley, opinion editor with the Washington Times. We appreciate you being on the Krieger Files. God bless you for the work you're doing.
God bless. Thank you.
You bet. We'll talk soon. And, folks, enjoy yourself. We'll be back with a Hump Day edition tomorrow here in the Krieger Files. In the meantime, God bless you, and God bless the United States of America.